Oh, if all the adults could see their faces right now. So much envy of the children who got their gifts. I'm sorry that I don't have something for all of you. I am very thankful that we are able to have Christmas together today. I feel blessed by your presence. We feel very blessed, my family and I, to be a part of this church family here. And if you are visiting, if you live in Abilene and you do not have a church family, I hope that you will connect with somebody this day and realize what a blessing it is to have a church home, that God has given us that gift. And I want to share, I know this may be getting mentioned later, but I'm going to ask, we had two new souls who came to Christ this week, Coven and Jasmine Mitchell. Can y'all raise your hands back there? They're sitting in the very back on this side here. Beautiful young family. I wasn't going to ask them to stand up because they have three little boys and their hands are full. And we had a very special, those of us who were here, there were a handful of us that were here on Thursday to be able to witness Coven and Jasmine baptized into Christ. And I got to hold up one of their sons so that they could see mom and dad being baptized there. It was about 15 plus Christmases ago. It was not quite Christmas. It was 15 years before. Just okay. I'm really making that confusing here. Our son Micah, who's 15 now, was born on November 28th. Before he was born, my wife had a goal of getting the Christmas tree up before she went into labor. And those of you wives, if you're like my wife or husbands, if you're married to a woman like I have, she's very task-driven. And once she has her mind set on it, even labor won't keep her from it. She got the Christmas tree up. We went into labor with Micah that very night. But coming home just a few days after Micah was born, it was very exciting for our whole family. Those of you who don't know a little bit of our history, we are a blended family. Heather was widowed and had two young children whenever God brought me into the family and made us a family. And then God did something so wonderful whenever we had another child and then Caleb came later. But it was a special thing to have myself and Heather and David, who was 10 at the time, and Allison, who was 7, to come and welcome Micah into our world because our family changed forever. For instance, whenever we brought him home from the hospital, and you know how you just hover over a baby? Everyone's hovering over the baby, and so our two young children and my wife and I are hovering over the baby, and we come and we set him down on the couch whenever we walked into the home to our house together for the first time. And we were just oohing and aahing over the baby, and we went to take his diaper off, and the baby just squirted. And it's a boy, right? So watch out. But we were thrilled. All of it was memories that we have together. And God making us a family. The birth of Jesus. His coming into our world. One birth. That God purposed. God sent His Son to create a family. And we've been looking at the amazing way that God did the impossible in giving Mary, who was a virgin, a child, born of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was. And we looked at the journey last week when they moved from Nazareth, Joseph, and pregnant Mary. They make that long journey to come to Bethlehem, and there's no room, as you're familiar in the story. And so the place where our Savior is born is in a stable, more or less, and the first bed that He's going to lay in is a feed trough. And yet here is God sharing in a most powerful way that He cares. The King of Kings, the highest of all heights of beauty and wonder and splendor, loves and cares for the lowest. And so to make sure that we understand and do not miss this in the gospel story, God is very intentional even with how He sends Jesus into our world. And in case we missed it by the location of the King of Kings' birth, He also brings in some people to witness the birth, but it's not grandparents, it's not aunts and uncles and a bunch of different siblings. None of them are mentioned in either Matthew or Luke. Instead, God sends strangers. Last time we talked about these outcasts, these outsiders, those who were out in the field working, and they smelled like sheep. And God brings these shepherds on the day of Jesus' birth to be the very first ones to be able to witness and worship the face of God in this child, Jesus. Today we see that message continue, and these are kind of, we've been talking about these unlikely ushers of the king, and I think when we come to Simeon and Anna as we're looking at today, we're definitely getting those who are less than. I have never seen, and probably rightfully so, but I've never seen because, you know, it's a little later, but I've seen a lot of nativities, and I've seen wise men, and I've seen shepherds, and I've seen the stable, and I've seen the manger, but I've never seen the old man Simeon and the widow Anna. They're still unlikely in our story, even though we have 2,000 years of their presence in the Scripture. God brings them in here in a very special way. Let's read this text together. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 25. Read along with me. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel.' The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.' There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years, and after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying, coming up to them at the very moment. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." Would you bow with me? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the way that you choose the unlikely and the lowly and the powerless. God, help us to be aware of your message this morning. Help us to listen as we look at Simeon and Anna, and as we reflect over your calling to us by sending Jesus into our lives. We ask this prayer in your Son's name. Amen. I mention again, it really astounds me because it's a big deal for us whenever a child is born. And we have, you know, we have a celebration. We have, you know, at church, we're going to celebrate. We're going to have the couple together, or the ladies will gather together, and there'll be gifts collected, and we'll, whether it's before the child's born or soon after the child is born, and we dream together, we imagine together, and we're excited together. Grandparents, you know you are the worst about this, aren't you? I know that right now this room is filled with grandparents who have a picture of their grandchild on them right now. True, right? Right? But amen, that's right. And that's wonderful. And that's the way that we should feel. Because every child is a gift And every child is precious. But I think that there's something that's being said here by the fact that we never hear about Mary's parents or Joseph's parents or really any family. Just in chapter 1 do we have a little bit of family mentioned by the cousin, Elizabeth, who is a part of the story as well. But no other family comes up in this birth story. And I think that maybe some of you have experienced this. It does happen this way sometimes that when we choose to follow Jesus, we may lose some family along the way who do not agree with our decision to seek God. But God does something wonderful. And your presence here is proof of this. God gives a spiritual family to every believer so that no child is born into Christ and does not receive sisters and brothers. That's the term that the Bible uses for us, isn't it? That's our relationship to each other. Brothers and sisters in Christ. So whenever we become a Christian, we receive this new family. And you also inherit those who are the older, more experienced generation that are in the church. They become your parents and your grandparents. And so when I read about Simeon and Anna here, I see there is an inclusion of some grandparents here. They may not be flesh and blood related, but they're going to rejoice over this child that God has brought. And there's something that comes with the blessing of God putting these two here. You see, those who have been there, those who have been faithful worshipers for many years, are able to live forward. They've seen time go through generation upon generation. What does it look like for a man to follow God year after year? Even through struggles, even through trials. What does it look like for a woman to follow God and dedicate her whole life? We don't get Simeon's age, but Anna's age is mentioned here. She's 84, and she still hasn't quit being excited about God. Her fire burns just as Simeon's fire for God burns as well. And you may undersell sometimes, you who are in Christ who've been here for a while, those of you who have been Christians for a while, you know where this is going. And the moment that Simeon and Anna behold Jesus, they already know that this is going way beyond a child being born or way beyond a manger story. But this is about salvation and rescue for all humanity from sin. The blessing of age, knowing the end from the beginning here. I wonder how many days went by that they were in the temple and Simeon or Anna were saying to themselves, Lord, is it today? Remember, Joseph and Mary were obeying the law here. They're following the law. Every other devout Jew is doing the same thing. They're going to come to Jerusalem. They're going to come to the temple. They're going to bring their son, their child, to be presented there, to be recognized as the household of Israel, as faithful of God's children. So babies have been brought there. Anna, who's never left the temple, you know, the text says, night and day she's there worshiping God, fasting and praying. How many babies did she see come through there as the days went by? And not all of them were easy days. We don't learn a lot. There's just a few verses that tell us about these two. Simeon, we know he's ready to go on. He's ready to be... He's at the end of his life. How else do we put it that way? He's living for this moment, quite literally. The Holy Spirit has revealed to him that his purpose to continue on earth is to see this child with his own eyes to witness salvation. What joy must have come over him. I can't get over in the text whenever it says, and he held up Jesus. He picked up the baby and held him in his arms. Can you see it? Simeon holding baby Jesus in his arms and how his heart must have overflowed to say, God, yes, finally. All that we've longed for and all that we've waited for, the troubles and the trials and the difficult days and the doubts that we faced, it was all worth it just to be here in this moment, and I'm not going to be quiet about this. We do learn a little bit more about Anna's history. And those of you who have walked the difficult roads of life, death is a part of Anna's story. No wife marries and thinks, this is in 7 years my husband's going to die. But Luke tells us this part of her story. She was married, and then after 7 years of marriage, her husband died. You know she had dreams. Something else that's not mentioned here, guess what? No child. Ladies, you know, wives, you know. How much had she longed? Following God is not just an easy street without any kind of challenges or woes. And Anna reminds us of that here. She's been faithful to God in the midst of her loss. And so what she's done with her life, she's redirected it so that her sole dedication and purpose is worship and prayer. And if there's not a model there for us, ladies and men, I don't think we're listening to what God has to say here. So we have this rich blessing. These two who are experienced. It's not angels who are proclaiming the message as it is as before, but God here chooses two faithful children of His, a son and a daughter. And He chooses them to be the one to know that this child who's amongst you today is my son. I get overwhelmed just thinking of the beauty of this moment. But then we also have the truth of their words here, and especially the word that Simeon will have to say, and we read it in verse 35. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. If Christmas is difficult for you, and it's not all shiny bows and ribbons, and sometimes it is a dark season in your household, God knows exactly where you're coming from. Because this is also a part of our story. The sword was going to be something that Mary would certainly experience here. And Luke is already in chapter 2 telling you where the whole letter that he's writing is going to go. Where is all of this going? Are you just going to tell us about the great wonders and the great deeds and the adventures of Jesus Christ? No, Luke says this is the gospel because there's a direction where it's going here. And he's gone from the manger to go ahead and pull back and have a wider angle here and say, this is all pointing to the cross. And so when Simeon speaks up, moved by the Holy Spirit here, Mary and Joseph could not be able to know all this that's coming, but we're already getting foreshadowing of what is God going to do? What is this child destined for? And it's true in every Christian's life. To follow Christ is new peace. It does mean peace on earth. But to send the Holy Son of God into our world to save us from our sins is certainly going to create some tension with a sinful world. Christ brings new peace and new conflict. Whenever Jesus was preaching, he says this in Matthew chapter 10, go ahead and go to the next slide there. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And really what Jesus is making sure here, he's speaking to an audience here, and he doesn't want them to jump on the Jesus bandwagon without fully knowing what it means to commit to him. Of course Jesus is bringing peace, but you don't just get the peace. And if that's what you're trying to attach yourself to without anything else, Jesus has got to be very clear here. Division is going to come to your life and conflict is going to come to your life, and there are certainly going to be pain and struggles. I like this quote here from Tim Keller in his book Hidden Christmas. He says, "The coming of Jesus into our lives makes us peacemakers, yet it also brings conflict. If you are a committed Christian, then you will know both the triumphs of peacemaking and the heartbreak of opposition. If you love Jesus and have Him in your life, a sword will pass through your heart as well. There will be inner conflict, sometimes confusion, sometimes great pain." So if this is a difficult season that you're going through right now, it doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. In fact, I think part of the message that the gospel is affirming is if you're going through a struggle, as you turn to God, you are going the right direction. The sword or the cross is not without pain and struggle and sacrifice. And you cannot remove those parts from the gospel message, because then it's no longer good news for those who are needing to be rescued or for those who are hurting. I've been blessed in my life to have some of these spiritual grandparents that I'm telling you about, and I want to encourage you. Those of you who are some of our seasoned saints amongst us, I hope that you are mentoring someone. We have many families here, many couples that have been married for several years. I hope that you are praying for and seeking to offer your wisdom and your insight to some young marrieds. How do you do it for decades? How are you able to stay committed? How do you get through the difficult times? What about whenever things don't go as planned in the marriage? Then what? I've been blessed to have some of those spiritual grandparents bless my life. Two widows, in fact, whenever I was graduated high school and leaving to come to Abilene, Texas here, because if you're going to become a good preacher, you got to go to ACU, right? And so, I don't know about some of the laughter I just heard, but whenever I was coming to ACU, there were two ladies at my church. They both happened to be widows, and they said, "Nathan, I want to give you a few dollars every month. I don't have much. I don't care if you're able to just go buy a hamburger or whatever." Which, when you're in college and you have the option to buy a hamburger, that is exciting. They wanted to be a part of the future that they saw in my life. They were able to see. A spiritual grandfather that I had, he blessed my life tremendously. Just before I had gone off to college, and I preached a sermon at my home church before I left, and he pulled me aside afterwards, and he said, "Nathan, I want you to know that you've got it." Whatever it was at that time. But his words meant a lot to me. He gave me more encouragement and more words, but what he was trying to say is, this is right. You're going the right direction. Keep seeking the Lord in this path that God has called you to. His words were huge for me. He also blessed many people's lives because he had a phrase that he would repeat. And if you were around Brother Jack years ago, you would have heard him say these words to you before you left his presence: "My bags are packed." He lived forward into what Christ was doing. And in those years as he was the aged one and the experienced one, he looked forward to knowing that God had a plan for his life beyond this life. And his biggest concern became, do the ones around me have that same direction? Do they know how this is going to end? And are they preparing their lives for that journey? And so before Brother Jack would leave your presence, or if he had a chance to give a devotional or a talk or time with you together, this would be kind of his parting words to be able to encourage and say, listen, I am ready. My bags are packed. He did something I hadn't heard this before, and this was a tremendous thing. If you need a last-minute gift idea, it's still Christmas today. Here's one I'm gonna send your way that I think would really bless. For all of his grandchildren, he had a Bible to give them whenever he would die. And inside each of their Bibles, he had a personal note to that grandchild. Now, he had written letters to all of his children as well, by the way. But for all of them, he had these parting words to try to encourage them and say, you need to, above everything else that you do with your life, remain faithful to Jesus and trust Him to the very end and make all of your life about being prepared for what's next. It's Christmas today. I can imagine a few things that are next on your list after you leave from this time of worship. I hope that something you'll add to your list is to use your experience. If you're a seasoned Christian or a parent or a grandparent, look around your life and see the younger ones or the new to the faith who may be wondering if they really do have a direction, and who are needing to hear those words that this life is bigger than this one moment, and that what I'm really working towards is having that end destination, that my life's goal is Jesus and more of Him every single day, and I cannot be satisfied until my eyes witness His salvation. Church, I have a longing in my life that I haven't met yet in Jesus, and that's to see Him face to face. I hope that's your desire as well. It may be that God is calling you to speak these words of life to those in your family or those who you have relationship with so they can be prepared as well. Maybe this morning is the day that you're come to that moment. Maybe it's today that God has stirred your heart. Maybe you're needing to respond to God's plan for your life. We have a church family here that will receive you. We have elders that will be up here in just a moment. If you have any need of any kind, you can come right now as together we stand and sing.